do you have a song for us this morning? All right. While he's coming, let me remind you of our service tonight at 6 o'clock. And also Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock, our Bible study in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, next Sunday evening, we will, I thought I had a bulletin up here, but I don't. There'll be a young lady who's going to Nicaragua as a missionary. She's going to be with us in our evening service, and we'd like to have you here to meet her and get acquainted with the ministry that God has called her for. So remember that. Also, this coming week, our son, two granddaughters, one grandson, and one great-grandson will be visiting us this coming Tuesday, and they will be with us in our services, hopefully next Sunday morning, and maybe in the evening also. Who knows what will happen? But anyway, we're looking forward to company this coming week, and you pray for them that God will give them a safe journey out here. And for those of you that are acquainted with John Lightbody and his wife Esther, Esther passed away last Thursday, and most likely, we don't have a confirmation on this, but most likely this coming Saturday at about 1 o'clock down at what used to be Old Time Baptist Church, there'll be memorial services down there for her. So remember that, those of you that know her and of her ministry. All right, Brother Johnny.
Good morning, everyone.
You know, Pastor was talking this morning about, we were studying Matthew about forgiveness. And I remember that throughout the years that I've offended people, either in word or deed. Yes. And when I realize that, I go and ask them for forgiveness. And I find out that, even though I sincerely ask them, there are some who are reluctant to forgive, who are unwilling to forgive. But I'm glad my Heavenly Father, my Lord Jesus Christ, is not so. When I go, when I sin against Him, and I realize my sin, I humble my heart, I cry out for mercy, and I ask for forgiveness. And He, in His loving kindness toward me, not only forgives me, but He renews, restores, and opens up His arms wide to welcome me back into the fold. Sister Barbara, please. Oh, there's forgiveness in God, man. Praise God. And remember that. Amen. Listen. Satan said, this time you've done it. Johnny, you've gone too far. How could the Lord receive you now when you're ruined and scorned? Oh, but something deep down inside me said, child, you're still my own, and my love for you is still the same. So, child, you come back home. He gave me more than I ever asked for, and more than I ever dreamed. Years that I wasted as I walked along those queen. I rehearsed time and time all the words that I would say. When I finally reached my last long hill, and by Jesus, now I will sing. Oh, he's running with his arms open wide, in love just to welcome me. He gave me more than I ever asked for, now more than I ever dreamed, more to forgive me. He gave me a royal ring. I said, make me as one of your servants. But he made me a child of the king. Oh, when I asked him to forgive me, he gave me a royal ring. I said, Lord, just make me as one of your servants. But he made me a child, listen to me, of heaven's king. Yes, he did. Yes, he did, Pastor. He always does. Glory. Praise God.
Let me say this morning that I appreciate, and I know that Susie does too, all of the prayers that have gone up for her during this time of her operations. And she'll begin taking chemo treatments. When?
They go to the 19th.
19th of this month. So be in prayer for her. If you ever had those, you know what they'll be like. If you haven't, you probably know someone who has. They're not the most pleasant thing in the world to look forward to, but then God is still alive. He's still on the throne. And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of John. Gospel of John, chapter 13. John, chapter 13. We're going to be in chapters 13 and 14 this morning. And we're going to a most sacred and holy place.
Roger, the
who?
Pastor Roger.
Tell me. I didn't know that.
Why do I wear a tie?
Well, goodness gracious, come on up here. Been practicing? I'm glad they let me in on this. I thought you were going to be one of the ushers this morning, Roger. Come on up here.
We're
going to
try.
Yes, all right.
We've been both froggy and sinusy this week.
Hang on to your britches.
Well, you'll never know how close I came to just calling on you just now. But then
you
I didn't want to.
You should have just gone ahead and started. I was looking for a kissy eye.
Yeah,
we'll get her next time.
Yeah.
We'll get her next time.
She held me all week, incidentally, to sing, and someday I want to get her in a duet.
On a hill far away stood soul will cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to
All right. Anyone else have a song? Which reminds me that after the service tonight, we will be celebrating the birthdays and anniversaries of all of those of our congregation who have birthdays and anniversaries during the month of August. So be here tonight after the evening service for that. We'll have a good time together, a good time of fellowship. Now then we go to John chapter 13 and 14. And in these chapters, we go yonder with Jesus to a place that's called the upper room. A place where Jesus had before had prepared a place where he would observe the Last Supper with his disciples. And he was there for that feast of Passover. And after this service that they're going to have in this upper room, they will adjourn and go out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there in that Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus will spend the rest of the night practically in prayer. 3 solid hours of prayer. Then he will be arrested and go through 3 trials. And by 9 o'clock the next morning, he'll be nailed to an old rugged cross on a place called Calvary. So we join him in that upper room with his 12 disciples. Now, at the time we join in with them, there's only going to be 11 there with him, because Judas Iscariot has already left. He's gone to betray Jesus. He's gone to collect his 30 pieces of silver that the high priests are going to give him to betray Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So now then, he is alone with his disciples in this upper room. And I can imagine the tension that must be in that room up there, because he begins to talk to them about things that he has never mentioned before. This is going to be his last time with them before his death. And they are frightened. There is a feeling among them that something awful is about to happen. They're facing a crisis. Death is waiting just outside the door, so to speak. And Jesus, with these 11 apostles, is trying to lift their thinking to a higher plane. He's trying to get their minds off of the temporal and on to the eternal. Not so much the here, but the for hereafter. And as he is teaching them, he is interrupted 4 times. Now, a casual reading of this, you'll see that, and you'll just pass right on over it. But I want us this morning to look at these 4 interruptions of Jesus' speech, you might say, and see if we can find some spiritual significance for these interruptions and what comes out of them. In verse 33 of John 13, Jesus said, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men shall know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." And having said that, he gets his first interruption. Who is it? Simon Peter. Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going? Where are you going?" You see, he missed it, didn't he? When Jesus said that he's going away, his mind closed. He didn't hear anything else that Jesus said. He just heard this one thing, that Jesus is going away. He's actually going to leave them. That's not unusual that Peter speaks up here, because he was that kind of guy. He might say the wrong thing, but he always says something. Don't worry about him. He'll reach spiritual maturity one of these days, but not now. He's still a child in his thinking, a spiritual child. He says, "Lord, where are you going?" Think of that. That's a question that a child would ask. I can remember growing up, my daddy used to tease us. He would get up, put his hat on, five little boys would say, "Daddy, where are you going? Can I go?" Do you ever do that? And Jesus deals with Peter as a father would his child. He says, "Peter, where I'm going, you can't follow me now, but you shall follow me later." Now that's the way you answer a child, isn't it? Your youngster comes in after school and says, "Mama, can I have a cookie?" And Mama says, "No, you can't have a cookie. It would ruin your appetite. We're going to be eating supper in a little while." Did you ever get told that? Yeah. So Jesus says, "Peter, you can't come with me now, but you can follow me later." He asked another question. "Why can't I follow you now? Why can't I go?" There again, the little kid, he runs to get his hat and coat. He doesn't know where his daddy's going or when he's coming back, but he's ready to go. He's ready to go. Peter says to him, in effect, he says, "Lord," said, "there I was in my fishing boat. You came along and you asked me to follow you. And me and Andrew, we left our boat and we followed you. And I want to go wherever you go. Lord, I will lay down my life for you." And that's the way that a lot of us are on occasion. The Holy Spirit stirs our hearts, and we from our innermost being cry out, "Lord Jesus, I may have failed you before, but from this time forward, I'm going to follow you. You can count on me." And when we say it, we are sincere and we mean it, just like Simon Peter meant it. But Jesus, if you want to know the truth, can't count on us, can he? We're still human. Peter was honest. He was sincere. He meant every word that he said. But notice how Jesus dealt with him. "Peter," he said, "would you really lay down your life for me? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, before the rooster crows in the morning, you will have denied me three times." Peter didn't know how to answer that. And he didn't believe it. But sure enough, before the sun came up the next morning, Peter had denied Jesus three times. And the rooster crowed. And old Peter went out. He remembered what Jesus had said. He went out and wept bitterly. Peter made a discovery. He found out how weak he really was. That's a lesson a lot of us Christians need to learn. We think that we have a sufficiency of strength within ourselves to meet the crises of life. And along comes a feather and knocks us over. We don't realize how much we need the Lord. Now, if you're reading down through this, don't let this chapter division mess you up. Okay? Jesus is continuing in verse 1 of chapter 14 talking to Peter. And these opening verses of the 14th chapter are very important. They mean a lot to a lot of people. These words were given to a man in the hour of his emergency, in what was probably the darkest hour of his life. Jesus, knowing that Peter was going to deny him, he puts down a cushion for him to land on. He said, "Peter, tonight you're going to do a terrible thing." Very close to what old Judas Iscariot has done. "But Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. You may deny me, but I won't deny you. I don't want your heart to be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." I believe that Jesus says that to you and me on occasion. Makes no difference who you are or what you've done. You can always come to me. I'll forgive. And I'll stick to you closer than a brother. I like what Jesus told him. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, Peter. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." Now that's new. Jesus is coming to do something that he never said in the Old Testament that he was going to do. Let's take us out of this world that we might be with him forever and ever and ever. In a place that he's prepared for us. Now, if God has saved you, and he doesn't take you to heaven when you die, there's going to be an empty mansion sitting up there for all eternity. Because it was prepared for you. If you didn't make it. So you better make it. Better make it. All right, let's go on. Reading on, we find another interruption, verse 5 of chapter 14. Jesus had said, verse 4, "Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" How about that? Old Thomas the doubter. He said to the disciples, he said, "Let's go with him to Jerusalem and die there with him." After the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the women came to Thomas and said, "Thomas, we went to the tomb early this morning. An angel came and rolled the stone away from the door of that tomb and said, 'He is not here, he is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay.' And we went and looked inside that tomb and it was empty. Jesus was not there. We didn't see him. But he is alive." And then after a while, Jesus appeared to them and they saw him. And they came to Thomas again and said, "Thomas, we've seen the Lord." And then they had that meeting. That night, the disciples there were there, but Thomas was not present. And Jesus came and stood in their midst, and they all saw him, and they could hardly wait to tell Thomas. And they went out and found him and said, "We have seen the Lord." And old doubting Thomas said, "Except I shall see him with my own eyes and touch the nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now here, Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. And if we don't know where you're going, how in the world do you think we'll know how to get there?" I'm glad he asked that question. And let me tell you this, if you have any doubts in your heart, don't bury it in your ignorance. Ask it. Bring it out in the open and deal with it. Take it to him and let him resolve it. And you know something? I'm glad Thomas was there to ask the Lord that question, because it gave our Lord Jesus Christ an opportunity to tell him. It's there in verse 6. It's there in verse 6. Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so we don't know, how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I am the way." Now that statement, once for all, shows us the way to God. It's not through the church. It's not through a denomination. It's not through ordinances, our ceremonies, our systems of ethics. The way to God is through a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He's the only way. You either have him or you don't. You either trust him or you don't. There's no middle ground. And with this statement, "I am the way," Jesus made a dead-end street of every other way, of every ism, of every cult. He's the only way. Now that statement is a dogmatic statement, isn't it? The school teacher teaches you in school that 2 + 2 = 4. That is dogmatic. It never changes. 2 + 2 = 3. 2 + 2 = 5. It is always 4. And Jesus is the way, and he is the only way. Truth is dogmatic. You can't be broad-minded about it. Then there's Philip. Philip was perhaps one of the quietest men among the apostles. In verse 8, Philip is going to speak up. What's he got to say? He says, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Show us the Father. Show us the Father. I believe that is the highest desire of human hearts, that longing to see God, whom we shall see for ourselves and not another. I think of Moses. We talked about him here Wednesday night, I think it was, in chapter 33 of Exodus. Moses had been up there in the presence of God on top of Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. God had shrouded himself, cloaked himself in clouds of darkness, as it were. Moses pleaded with him, "Lord, I beg of thee, show me thy glory." God told him, "Moses, you cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. But I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand while I pass by, and then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back parts, but not my face." And he did. "Lord, show us the Father." I'm glad Philip asked that question, because it gave Jesus a chance to make one of the strongest statements concerning his deity that you'll find anywhere. What does he say? There it is in verse 9. "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." See that? "I and the Father are one. I am in the Father and the Father in me. When you look at me, you see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The songwriter wrote a song. Says, "Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face." Sure we do. He assures us that he is God. Thank you, Philip, for that interruption. And then we move on. Sitting there at that table in the upper room is Judas, not Iscariot. And Judas is going to ask him a question. In verse 22, "Lord, how will you reveal yourself to us and not unto the world? You brought us up here and you're telling us these wonderful things, but what about the world outside this upper room? What about the world outside the auditorium of this Bible Baptist Church?" You see, Judas, while these others are absorbed with the events that are taking place, Judas is concerned about the world outside. Sure, we know the Lord as our personal Savior. We're going to heaven. But what about those 7 billion people outside this church building? What about them? Jesus answered him in verse 23 and said, "If a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not and keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father that sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Jesus is saying to him, Judas, I haven't forgotten the world. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And when Jesus died, he died for the sins of the world. Everybody, everywhere. Jesus said, Judas, I'm going back to my Father. But we'll come back and make our abode with you. And the Holy Spirit will also come. And the Holy Spirit will teach you, and he'll bring to your remembrance, to your mind, what I've said, so that you may go into all the world with the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves. We may sometimes forget our world, but our Lord hasn't. He didn't give these tremendous truths to us alone, but to everybody. He wants us to pass them on to other folks. And then in conclusion, Jesus says again in verse 27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus is aware of the doubts, the troubles, the strife and the misery that's here on this earth. He's concerned and he's caring. And we learn this. Whatever question you have, bring it to Jesus. He has the answer. Praise God for these interruptions of Jesus' speech in the upper room. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you today. And we thank you for your goodness and grace toward us. Thank you for your love for our souls, that you saved us when we were unworthy. And really, there wasn't much there to salvage, we don't think. But you saw us, and you saved us. And Father, we have good news to give to those who are out in sin, those sinners that are lost today. The good news is that Jesus saves. Father, we thank you today for the message that we have here from these questions that were asked of Jesus in the upper room. And if we have any questions in our hearts today about salvation, about your will for our lives, we thank you that we can come to you and ask these questions. And you'll be careful to give us the right answer, an answer that we can rely upon and trust. So speak to hearts today. If there's one here today that needs the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we pray that you will bring them into your fellowship. If there are those today that are looking for a church home, we pray that you would bring them into our fellowship. Speak to hearts today and have your divine will and way. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
496.
As we sing the invitation this morning, will you come? Today. Thank you for that invitation. Thank you for the attention you gave to the preaching this morning. Appreciate your being here and hope that we said something that will bring strength and comfort to your soul, help you in your Christian walk. As we're dismissed in prayer this morning, Brother Raul, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?